Mike Huckabee's position on the law of the child, the Convention of the Rights of the Child. Mike Huckabee's position on the rights, on the Convention on the Rights of the Child, is to the letter identical to the position of Fred Phelps on the same issue.
Well, that's,
I mean, does that make it any clearer?
Yeah, it's horrifying. At the same time, it sounds awfully damn familiar.
That's one of the reasons every now and then, and I get these emails, you know, why do you keep beating on Huckabee? And I used to get emails about, you know, why do you keep talking about Fred Phelps? He's not representative of American Christianity. To hell he's not. The man,
well,
to
most
this
evil and out of control, twisted. Yes, it is, and yes, it is. He just doesn't gloss it up with very much nice.
Well, it's not just that. The man remains an ordained minister of the Southern Baptist Church, Peter. Not one of the evil, wicked, maniacal, demon-possessed things he has said and done has ever motivated the Southern Baptist Church to withdraw its ordination.
It breaks my heart.
I mean, at least the Roman Catholics occasionally defrock the occasional kitty diddling priest when
right,
he gets caught.
Right. Right.
But
and
they
what
have
the churches
never
are break. Go ahead. I was just going to say what the churches want to break over is gay marriage and gay unions. The congregations are splitting apart left and right. Yet something like they're not going to, they won't split over a Phelps. They seem to be unified. They don't split over.
No. And they're right there ready with an excuse. If you should happen to call them on their BS, Peter, you say, well, you know, what about Fred Phelps? Why? Well, but. And they'll, but the one, it drives me crazy because they'll say, you know, Fred Phelps, he's out of line. I mean, I can't believe he talks like that. He's certainly not representative of the Christianity that I believe in. Sister, if you're going to a Southern Baptist church, he darn sure is. If you're going to any kind of a fundamentalist church, he absolutely is.
Well, he is, because they will say it's a sin and that you're going to go to hell for it, but Fred Phelps actually acts it out.
Yeah,
I mean,
in many ways, as loathsome as he is, Peter, Fred Phelps is a little bit more honest than the rest.
Lord, I struggle so hard, Bob, to not completely, you know, just want to bitch slap every one of them. I really do struggle with it. It's just so disheartening to realize some of these things.
Oh, it is, and I guess we've run over a little bit, but I got one, and I want us to have tomorrow for the rest of Brother Mike. Because you really can't have you can't have too much.
there's but, more. There's, I've got plenty more stuff.
But there's another story out here. If I can find it real quick, because I think it'll speak to you too. If I can only find it. There it is. I know that the issue of the Bush Library is one that is near and dear to your heart.
Oh, Lord, yes. I think about it every night, even though I don't talk about it every night. I would rant about it every night if I could.
Okay, we're going to run a little bit over because I'm going to play some audio from the American Family Association.
Yes.
Because, please, well, let's do the audio first.
Okay.
The Washington Post reports that the Saudi royal family gave Bill Clinton's presidential library in Little Rock, Arkansas, about $10 million, roughly the same amount it gave toward the presidential library of George H.W. Bush. According to the paper, the Clinton Library raised more than 10% of the cost of its $165 million facility from foreign sources, the largest donation coming from the Saudis. David Gartenstein Ross is Vice President of Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He says any large donation coming from Saudi Arabia should cause an eyebrow to raise.
Saudi Arabia has been donating a great amount of money to a number of different U.S. institutions. In particular, they've been endowing a number of university chairs in Islamic studies. That's of concern because, in general, they get what they pay for in these Islamic study programs. That is, one of the most pernicious ideologies when it comes to contemporary Islamic extremism is Wahhabism, the ultra-conservative brand of religion that is predominant in Saudi Arabia.
Gartenstein Ross says when the Saudis endow chairs of Islamic studies at universities, the Mideast studies programs will be much more willing to serve as apologists for the Wahhabi brand of Islam. Jim Brown, Washington.
Okay.
Wow.
Now, on the face of it, it points out that they gave $10 million to the Clinton Library, right?
Yes, they did.
And they point out that they gave about the same amount to the library of George H.W. Bush.
Yes.
And I don't disagree with them on the fact that Saudi Arabia is actively proselytizing the Wahhabist version of Islam. I really don't. Because I've done some study on this, and I know it to be factual. And I also know for a fact that the Wahhabist version of Islam is the version of Islam that wanted to beat the hide off that poor little girl. Okay?
Oh, my. Okay.
But what I want to point out to you here, and this is a little bit visual, so it's a little bit of talking about architecture, or, you know, dancing about architecture, is the headline. Now, this is an associate... It's one of theirs. It's based on a Washington Post newspaper report. This is the news organ of the American Family Association.
Yes, it is.
And again, we've established that it mentions $10 million each to the George H.W. Bush Library and the Clinton Library, right?
Right.
Here's the headline. Eyebrows raised over $10 million Saudi gift to Clinton Library.
Ah, which is, if you're a headline reader like so many people are...
That's all you see.
Well, Bob, didn't Bush, isn't he raised the shields about not revealing where his money is coming from, the current Bush?
Oh, yeah.
So he could be getting $30
million. Or 50, or 100. I mean, this is a relationship that goes way back. You know, when he got out of, I guess when he got done dodging the draft and finally got his MBA that they apparently sell in bubblegum machines around Cambridge, Massachusetts that say Harvard on them, he went back to Texas and he formed an oil company called Arbusto Energy.
Yeah, I remember that name.
And it is a fact. It's not speculation. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's not, you know, wild-eyed Bush hating. It's just a fact that the Saudis were the principal backers of Arbusto Energy. Among the Saudi principal backers was the Bin Laden family.
Yeah, that tale I lost.
Now,
yeah.
bear in mind that George Bush was the only human being just about in the history of Texas who could not find oil in the Permian Basin.
Okay. Oh, God.
And it all just got pissed up a rope. All that money.
Yes, it did.
Screwed
yes,
his investors, turned around,
nothing,
closed that
no
down,
problem.
Got it absorbed by another company, got that absorbed by another company, got that absorbed. George W. Bush, no, okay, wait, I missed something. I'm Dr. Dippy.
Cool.
The story says that they gave $10 million to the George H.W. Bush Library.
Right. You did say that.
Well, that's Pappy.
That's Pappy.
And they gave $10 million to the Clinton Library.
Right, but no revelation about George.
No revelation about the W Library.
Right, right. So it's all been fair, so one would expect it to sequentially fall as a $10 million George. But he raised the curtain. He lowered the curtain. You can't see.
And the expert, and this language, the expert suggests that the multi-million-dollar donation has the potential to influence Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's Mideast policy if she were to win the White House.
Jesus Christ, that's in the article. Now, are you reading that from American Family Association, the Washington Post?
No, from the American Family Association.
Which is prolific, and everybody, every one of the idiots gets that and forwards it to the people.
They don't just get it. You heard the audio. I mean, here we are struggling along. Okay, this is not the fundraising part of the program.
No, it isn't.
But we are, you know, we struggle every month to come up with enough operating capital to keep us going. Ordinarily, that's $2,000, but we're trying to catch up, and it's $3,500 this month. And if we don't hit $3,500, it'll be $3,500 next month. Because we, you know, the hole is the hole, and I'm not going to, you know, we're reality based, and I'm not going to, oh, there's no hole there. There's a hole.
Yeah, I'm okay. Hopeful that as time goes by, it will ramp up to more than cover.
Well, I am too.
But that's another
I am too. But what I'm getting at here is we, you know, we struggle. Well, you heard that audio. Okay, they run a radio network that is heard all over the country every blessed day.
So they're terrestrial?
Oh, yes. They're terrestrial because they buy up all the bandwidth. The FCC will open a window so that you can, you know, buy up a little room to put a translator for your local public radio station, you know, to beam the jazz and the classical music into, you know, the hinterlands of West Florida.
Sure.
Well, before the public radio can even get to it, these jokers are on top of it. And they've bought the license, and the, and what they do is, that, you know, they don't staff individual radio stations. They've just got little automation systems sitting somewhere. And, they,
and a technician to be sure that all the links are up so that they
can remote. Right, and they beam it all from a central location. And it just goes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Eyebrows raised over $10 million Saudi gift to Clinton Library. Potential to influence Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's Mideast policy if she were to win the White House.
Bob, it doesn't go by the... What is the name of the show? Do they get, are there multiple shows? Did they just call the show the American Family Association?
Oh, no, they got all kinds of shows. And this is
That's
their news arm.
Figured, yeah. I get you.
This is their news
There's
arm.
The preaching, yeah, the twisted news, the preaching, the whole bit.
Yeah. And it all, every last bit of it, is tax-free.
And somebody actually had the nerve to ask you, Bob, how can you focus on negative? That's serious, folks. If you don't, nobody will ever hear it.
I'm just a negative person. I'm just a negative person.
Yeah. Actually, you're not. I know that for a fact. Even when all hell's breaking loose, you're really not negative.
Oh, if of all the times in the world, if you can't laugh, then you're done. I mean, there's no sense in fighting, because if you can't look at this stuff and at least get a giggle out of it, because you've at least, you know, we've got a leg up on perspective, Peter.
Well, I guess we do, don't we? We'd have to.
We understand what these people don't. We look at the world and we see a world that could be improved. Oh boy, pardon me. We see a world and we see a world that could be dramatically improved by the real message of Christ Jesus.
Or any of the philosophers, if anybody would listen.
Or the message of Socrates, or the message of Gandhi, or Dr. King.
Bob, we oftentimes refer to this as them drinking the Kool-Aid, and that's a fun thing to say, and it's all cool and ha-ha about the Kool-Aid. But really, what is it? What are the bigger words for drinking the Kool-Aid? Why? I mean, it's the ultimate question. Effing why?
Well, I think we already identified it, Peter. It's a racket. I mean, I'm not trying to oversimplify.
Oh, it's a racket, and there you go. Yeah.
I mean, you've heard me from time to time refer to the three laws of life as espoused by William Christopher Duncan Fields, W.C. Fields. Don't smarten up a chump. No.
So there's the
never
the
give a sucker an even break.
The ones that are running, they're the ones that are running the racket, and then basically what you're saying is the only thing they serve is Kool-Aid. So. Those are the chump.
Yeah, but a dealer doesn't do his own product, okay?
Yeah.
You know, if you're out to make money doing the deal, you're not snorting it, you're not smoking it, you're not shooting it.
Yeah.
You're trying to get other people to do it.
Right, that's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, because you are interested in the money it can bring you.
And the successful ones are that way. I know this for a fact.
Yeah, and it's no different than with fundamentalist religion. This has nothing to do with anybody's souls. If you waterboarded Brother Wildman or Brother Huckabee, I don't know, maybe torture works. If you waterboarded these people, they would tell you they no more believe in God than any atheist in America. They don't believe in a heavenly home. They don't believe in an afterlife. They believe in what's here now, and that is why they are grubbing for it as hard as they can go. That's why a guy like Wildman or Huckstrebee or Dobson or Falwell or Oral Roberts or, you know, Ernest Angley or any of these people, that's why they can gleefully run to the bank to cash a 75-year-old widow's Social Security check.
It's just that I can't wrap my head around that much evil. If it's Bob, if it's that bad, I don't know. I'm just a guy on a dirt road in the middle of nowhere, you know, my headphones and my microphone. This stuff blows me away.
You know, I sit on top of my little mountain here and just try to be above it all.
Oh, Jesus.
But you can't. You can't. Because, I mean, there's a culture war. These people want to talk about a culture war, you know, because some S&M devotees get together and wear chaps with the bottoms cut out and on whatever it is street in San Francisco.
Yeah, the ultimate kinky group. That's the one they went after.
Yeah, but so what?
Yeah,
I mean,
so
did it, did anybody put a gun to those fundies' heads and make them go there? They went there because they want to go there. They want to see the naked buns and the chaps.
Right. They were very upset that some families brought their children. Don't know if that's true, but, you know, there's no law that says you have to be a good parent. I mean, obviously. I mean, it would be nice if everybody was.
And there's no rule of thumb within the human community that says nudity is bad.
Oh, there's that, too. Yes, you're right about that. Many families, they're just plain nude in the house.
Yeah, I mean, you're born that way.
Yeah, but a lot of families are, yeah, less than...
But, you know, these fundamentalists that are, you know, bad, you know, don't touch yourself there. That's just for washing.
And don't wash it very much.
Don't wash it very... And you wash it slowly.
And be sure to use lava or something.
Something that'll hurt a little bit.
Right.
Want that thing raw. Oh. But you know, look, I mean, really, nobody made him go to San Francisco. I mean, nobody.
No, they knew.
Nobody put
they
a gun to the decency guy's head and made him look at the mannequin in the Victoria's Secret window that had a teddy on.
Yeah, somebody reminded me in chat the other night that Mardi Gras is just as bad, except that when they go to Mardi Gras, they only focus on what the LGBT folks are doing versus what the straight folks are doing. Things just as bad.
Oh, or worse.
Or worse. I've never been to Mardi Gras. I'm really a sheltered little guy.
You are.
I totally don't know much except for what I read in the papers.
my wonderful, good, loving sister lives in Mobile, and for years
really?
Has said, you know, come, because Mobile has the oldest Mardi Gras, not New Orleans.
Ah.
And said, you know, you really should come for Mardi Gras in Mobile. It's a much saner experience.
Really, yeah, more like a celebration or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the masked balls and everything, but you're absolutely right. Never, but it's just like this story. Never a word about what they are doing.
No,
it's always about. You know, I mean, can you imagine? Has the potential to influence Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's Mideast policy?
Yeah, right.
As if.
And remember, there was a news story I did the other night. They were actually crowing about the fact that there was going to be a larger volume of information for the George Bush Library than the Clinton Library, and more electronic data, too. And this after losing the 5 billion messages. And you remember Bruce Simpson said, yeah, it's going to be a billion copies of My Pet Goat.
Well, I do remember, and I was sitting there thinking, no, Bruce, no.
What was it? What were you thinking?
It's going to be 5 million emails that begin, I am the recently widowed wife of Omar Khayyam of Kuwait. He has died, and I have cancer, and I am directed to contact you, my Christian friend.
Oh, it's all spam. What a marvelous This is marvelous. Your mind is so demented. I love. Yeah, it's all spam. Thought was.
Yeah, and if you can find the emails from Karl Rove in the middle of it all, congratulations.
Right, because everybody's going to glaze over before they get to 10,943.
Yeah, sure, and that's exactly what it's going to be. You know, every single email that was directed to George Bush, and you know, I think he takes and probably takes these seriously. Is your wife dissatisfied with your sex life? Click this link.
Yeah.
Let's see. You got to do it up in the pidgin English that it's written in. We have magnificent super sex pill for you. She will love you for it.
I know. I got one the other day that said, "Tell her that it will be bigger. She be more happy in January.
She be happy, happy long time."
$5.
or the latest one. Hi, I be bored. My name be Clint. You be call me. Click below. Here my email address.
Yeah, yeah. What, Bob? I still get. Remember, I was raging about MySpace when I joined it because I keep getting emails from these. You know, these people that want you to go to their website and look at their dirty pictures and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I keep getting from women. And it's like I want to email them back so bad and say, just why in the hell do you think
I'm... Just send me a picture of a boy.
And out of the hundreds, I've only gotten one from a guy. I didn't respond. I marked that as spam, too. I mark them all as spam. But it's just so obvious, you know, they don't... And then I got one today saying... Your picture looks so familiar. Didn't we get drunk last night? And it was from Tammy or somebody.
Yeah.
Well, or the other nighter.
You know, you never know how these algorithms work, Peter.
You never know.
And, you know, they've probably seen Tallahassee, Florida. So, you know, that kicks in the Florida State algorithm.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, if it's Florida State, she's, how many Tammys are there at Florida State?
Yeah, yeah, and then they always have the like the bleached beach blonde look about them in the, you know, the photograph they send.
I had a really really good friend many years ago, who she was a girl. Okay, we were almost married, but she would do this impression because she was a graduate of the University of Alabama, and she would do this impression of Tina and Tammy.
Okay.
Tina and Tammy always wore tank tops with the bra strap poking out from under the tank top strap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's always that dual strap thing working.
And you know, she'd look at you. You want a beer? My daddy's rich.
Oh God, that's funny. You'd have to grow up in the South to realize how funny it is. Maybe not. Maybe Yankees recognize how funny that is, too. Go ahead.
I don't know. Let's see if it works. You want a beer? My daddy's rich.
No, it's just as funny in Northern speak. That's just plain funny. I love it. Oh, what an entertainment.
But, you know, I mean, so I can, you know, I think I understand how some of these algorithms work, and you just haven't meta-tagged your site gay, damn it, gay, quite enough.
I need to put every variant of the word somewhere in like little tiny print, like white on white text, you know.
Oh yeah, and embed a player that's either playing Barbara Streisand or Liza Minnelli or Judy Garland or something.
Yeah, yeah, nice show too.
Yeah, because subtle doesn't work on MySpace.
No, it doesn't. It's really a wang, wham, bam kind of brute force thing.
Brute force.
Oh, MySpace. And now they tell me, now they freaking tell me that all the thinking people are moving to Facebook, and I hadn't got time to learn a whole damn new interface to deal with this stuff. It was bad enough learning how to do MySpace.
Yeah, and you know, there's only so many million pieces of spam porn I can deal with in a day.
Yeah. Oh, my. I just can't. There's just so much. If all the social interfaces had, like, one big interface.
Oh, but wait till we go to
no.
Second Life, Peter, and they start approaching you in 3D body forms. And you're typing to them, you know, in your 3D body form, but I'm gay. I'm gay. I'm gay.
Bob, I played with that the other day. You know, you were talking about it, And so over the weekend, I went to the thing, and I signed up. I have a lot. It's like you can start with a free account.
Right.
Okay. So I went in there, and, like, I learned how to drive a car, and I learned how the four basic things, how to drive, how to fly, how to jump or walk underwater. There are, like, four things you had to learn. Okay. And I learned, how to talk to people, and that's like a little – okay, I learned those four things. But now, like, basically once you learn those four things, you can't get out of that area, that little teaching area. I mean, you can walk around and see new people learning to fly and stuff, but you really can't get out of that area, I think, until you pay them.
No, you got to buy. Yeah, you got to buy your freedom.
Okay, that's it. Okay, because I felt like kind of trapped, and I said, "Well, screw this." Well, I just shut
it
down.
There's no Second Life, Second Underground Railroad.
In fact, you can, like, fly for miles and miles in any direction, and the only thing in the whole world is that training island. The world has vanished.
Oh yeah, well, some of this stuff I think is it really is. It's based on things like Logan's Run, the Bounty of the Sea.
I may have uninstalled it. I'll have to put that back. But I'm not going to pay them $9.95 a month to fly around unless there's a damn good reason.
Oh no. I mean, if there was an interest in it with the Horn listeners, and we thought that people wanted to work that, because I think I'm a geek. I think it would be fun to have a chat room that exists in a sort of virtual reality.
Yes.
Virtual Peter and a little virtual Bob and virtual John and virtual Mark with really good virtual hair and, virtual guy.
He's so evil.
I think it would be fun, because I think it would be fun if there was a virtual Ninja Gene and a virtual Ninja Susan, a virtual ELO.
It would be. It would be great fun. And in fact, I could see where it'd just be fascinating, really.
But really, the next step up from that is when you get the wrist implant and your thoughts are translated into Second Life while we're sitting here talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's where this is all headed.
It brings up the question, too, is if you die in Second Life, do you die in real life? There's always that sci-fi question.
But what's really cool is if you die in real life, you don't die in Second Life.
Yeah, no, this is a fact. Ooh, that's it.
Because Kurt Vonnegut is still sitting in that amphitheater talking with the guy from the NPR program or API or whatever, The Infinite Mind. He's still sitting there.
Interesting.
And he's you can still access the interview, and it's a fascinating step forward. But they're also, as John pointed out, they're very ungreen.
Yeah,
massively energy consumptive. I mean, if you think about the server space that's required for that stuff.
Well, it doesn't. Also, the future generation. I mean, who's going to pay to archive that server space? We talk about our shows being on the internet and available forever for archivists to find 100 years from now and figure out what it was like to live these days. But who's going to, when we're all dead, who's going to like pay the bill? We need a legacy.
It's interesting you should mention that, because way back when, BartCop, BartCop's one of my favorite sites on the web. He ran. He always linked to a site by a guy named Michael Dare, and Michael Dare was just fascinating. I don't know if he's still up or not. I haven't checked in probably years. But Michael Dare linked to a story about something called the Time Travel Fund, and I found it absolutely intriguing because it appeared to be real. And, I mean, it wasn't like the Nigerian lady who wanted to give you all her money or anything. It was, send us $10, we will, it was $10, so it wasn't any big deal. Send us $10, we'll deposit it in a bank account in your name.
Oh.
And when time travel is developed and you get brought back to life, you'll be rich.
Well, and this is a true fact.
By virtue of compound interest.
Yeah.
And the longer it takes to develop time travel, the richer you'll be.
The richer you'll be, and it's only $10, so you haven't lost either.
What, dude? I spend $10 on chocolate.
Oh Lord, don't make me tell my secrets. I have a secret. Occasionally, I will have this hankering for gizzards. I shouldn't tell them.
Oh.
And there's this.
Oh,
there's
my brother, chicken. My brother, I understand.
There's this particular chicken store in Tallahassee.
I was going to say, is there a Gizzard Shack? Tell me there's a Gizzard Shack in
right,
Tallahassee.
And you could go get these, like a pint or, get this wonderful gravy. It's like 9 billion calories per kidney dipped in this grease. But it's so fabulous.
Oh, I so want some. Bring it home and freeze it and mail it. It might be able to get here in 3 days and not quite be thawed.
We are so twins in so many ways.
Well, one of the things that just grieves me here in West Virginia is that in Maryland they have them, in Pennsylvania they have them, in Ohio they have them, in Virginia and in Kentucky they all have Popeye's chicken.
Oh yeah, that's Popeye's there too. Yeah,
and Popeye's has fried chicken livers that if you're a fried chicken liver kind of guy, you'd crawl across ground glass for.
Really, I didn't realize that because I never had their livers. Next time I'm around to Popeye's, I'll just have to drive right on through.
Oh, with that Cajun almost kind of brown gravy, with the little with the little crackling pieces of stuff off the bottom of the skillet in it. Yeah, I'm going into withdrawal right now because every time I go down to deal with something with regard to my father's estate and his home and stuff.
Yes.
Before I ever get to the house, I'm at Popeye's.
You go on a gizzard liver binge.
Oh, I do.
Oh,
it's just pitiful.
Well, it is
pitiful. because I get territorial about it. Get your own. Get your own. I looked at Ferg and he said, "Can I have a liver, Daddy?"
Die, Ferg.
you can have your own box, and I'll eat what you don't.
Oh,
and you get that kind of thing where you're sort of drumming on your thigh with your fingers, and you get that paranoid, Captain Queeg, they thought I was crazy, but I fooled them with the strawberries, thing going on.
Yeah, and then there's the last one, and you so hate to eat the last one.
Oh, but they're beautiful. Oh, they're beautiful.
Oh, they are. Yeah.
And it's just, I can't get anything like that around here. Oh.
I'm sure if Ernest Cole and Linda are listening, I mean Katie. They're just horrified. They're just freaking horrified.
Oh well, Katie, Ernest, we have something to tell you. We're rednecks.
That's right. We really, really are, and we really, really live on dirt roads in the middle of nowhere.
We do. We just do.
We do.
And we like chicken gizzards, and we like chicken livers. Yes, we
do.
But then again, they're Yankees. They go out for tongue, okay? I mean,
Oh, they do. Oh, good. I'm glad there's something that we can get them back with. I don't know these details.
Tongue. It, always tongue. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's pretty gross.
Tasty, too. Sorry, I'm multicultural. But, oh... I love it when you break out with your wicked little secrets. And for people listening now, we started out with Mike Huckabee and the Law of the Sea Treaty and the International Conventions of the Rights of the Child, and we're down to chicken gizzards.
We have got, and we could probably go on.
Oh, it's not going to get any better.
No, it's going to go downhill from here. Before you know it, we're
and it all you know it all started with the rainbow stew and the free bubble up.
Yes, it did. That was the trigger point. That was where it tipped over and started rolling out of control. We were pretty tied up till then.
Yeah, but people need to understand, we've talked, you and I, about our marathon sessions of computer building and software loading and fixing and what the hell is wrong this time, Bob, and, that kind of stuff.
We literally have been on the phone for 14 hours straight.
And this is what it sounds like.
Yes, it does. It does. Except when it gets really stressful with the computers, I get tense and try that, try that, and Bob's like, I'm doing it. So right now when there's no crisis, this is how we really are. But, under crisis, we're a little bit different.
Yeah. But, is it loading? Why isn't it loading? I don't know, Peter.
Loading?
I just want some Cheetos.
You've got to tell me what's on the screen.
Don't paraphrase. Read it to me exactly as it appears.
Click this, and then I go, oh, no, wait, don't do that. And Bob's like, what?
Too late.
Oh, Jesus, Father, this network has gone together in a remarkable way.
It's a beautiful thing, Peter. It really, really is. And, you know, I have learned when I get an email from you before 8 a.m.
Oh, Jesus, please don't do this to me. Or don't read it. don't read it.
No, I won't read it. But when I get an email from you before 8 a.m., I just look. Hasn't had coffee. Water off a duck's back.
Just delete them.
But this last piece of hate mail showed up at 9:30.
Oh yes, but it was Sunday morning, so you have to understand.
And I just made an assumption you were out of coffee.
No, it wasn't that coffee. I had to go to church.
and be told that George Bush is a godly man.
Yes, or worse. Well,
I'd be kicking the furniture on the way out of the door. I admire you. I don't know how you can do it. I mean,
I like write these emails. Bob, I hate you, and you do everything wrong. Oh, Jesus, I don't actually say that, but you know,
it sure feels like it.
They're like bitter old queen. They're like the bitter old queen from hell. Who's like, you know, like,
you know, it's 9:30, and I just look at it and assume you don't have any coffee, and I type back. We'll cope. Talk later.
Well, I knew the last one was so bad that I had to apologize on air because I didn't dare apologize to you directly. So. Oh, Jesus, the last one was really awful.
I've gotten to where, you know, yeah, it's, I don't know how to explain it. Somehow or another, I know I matter to you when you send those emails.
Well, it's true.
If you care enough to write me that much of an email telling me how awful I am,
Bob,
I matter to you. If you were just silent, I'd just be another asshole out there. You know?
Okay, I wrote one version Saturday morning. Okay, and then I wrote another version Saturday evening. I edited that one, and then it was Sunday morning when I finally cracked in the third version.
Bless your heart. You know, I say that sincerely because I know what you were getting. I know what you were getting at, and I've been there.
Oh, I know. It's and what we were flaming back and forth about.
Agnes can tell you. As recent as, you know, like the Beckley days, I have come home willing to throw things at furniture and walls and things, you know, because of something my producer did.
Yeah, right. Why?
But you never realize that the producer is going home and throwing things at the walls over what you did.
I know, and it was all over, like, you know, see, we're trying to do, this is the way it is, we're not in the same room, so we can't see each other, obviously, so I'm talking, and Bob's typing, and I can't think and talk while typing back, and I have to stop talking to type back, because my mind can't multitask, and sometimes it can, so it gets confusing, and
Because I'm so damn verbose, I can't type, you know, a simple subject verb sentence. You know, I type
and
in.
I go into.
It's like I type in Esperanto.
And I go in digital mode, and I'm not answering. I'm answering things like "Okay" is just K, "Yes" is Y. You know, I'm going to like total minimalist, and Bob is not talking, so he's like in total Bob mode. Oh.
And I write an inquiry like, you know. Would you like fries with that? And it's a freaking sonnet. Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, don't bother me about the freaking fries. I'm stressed. Oh, God.
I'm not ready for my close-up, Max.
Exactly. Oh, God, Bob, I love you.
Oh,
if you could put up with me, you can handle anything.
It's just, and again, it's, you know, it's not just you, it's... But, you know, it's all about me, because I'm at the center of this little hurricane.
Well, you're in the hot seat, because you've not only got packet meters
running.
Well, no,
I'm an egomaniac, and it all just swirls around me. But I mean, everything that happens, if it's not me, it's Agnes, and it touches one of us. At least the shows that we were produced through, that are produced through here. And as a consequence, you know, if we screw up, it screws up you guys. If you screw up, it just screws up you. So,
well, I guess I kind of see that. But the disadvantage is really the chat mode. I mean, we can't see each other.
But, you know, but that oddly enough, and I ascribe this to the fact that, and this is no insult, but I ascribe this to the fact that this is not your original idiom.
Well, no, this is definitely a learning curve for me.
When you were DJing, you're sitting up there in your sort of disco God Almighty booth.
Looking in total control,
looking out over the sweating crowds of dancing people.
Of which I made the judgments and I reacted to whatever was going on.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to.
And now I'm not. Now I have to work with someone, and that's new to me.
Yeah. Screw with me. I'll play Stars on 45. You hear me?
Oh, and don't make me find Funky Town.
Don't.
But it's been requested.
Oh, I know. And you know, it hangs over my head like the sword of Damocles. And people. And people need to understand my relationship with Funky Town.
Okay, let's get this out now. Let's see. Yeah,
where's Rick Goodner when I need him? we have to cast our minds back through the dim mists of time to a young Bob Kincaid working the midnight shift at an adult contemporary top 40 FM radio station submitted for your approval.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the midnight shift. I go from midnight to 6.
Yeah.
It's the reason I can't drink caffeine anymore, because I used to drink 4 pots of coffee a night.
Oh, wow. I probably ate your stomach up.
Yeah. I've got a hiatal hernia that's, like, in the book.
There you go. That's not good.
Yeah. Welcome, students, to Anatomy 101. Here's a picture of Bob's hiatal hernia. So I'd come on. And this was when Funky Town was hitting. And
yeah.
The first sixth grader would call at 12:01.
Oh, geez. Okay. Go ahead.
In the high little cracking voice, will you play Stars on 40, or will you play Funky Town?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll be happy to get it on. 3 minutes later, same kid. 10 minutes later, same kid. And, you know, radio is a people business, so you can't go, hey, kid, go to bed, or I'm going to send an evil man to your house.
Yeah, right. The Funky Town
monster. bless their hearts, and because I understand, because I was that kid once, if the concept and the medium of radio grab you, it's like a drug. And so you'll take the phone and you'll hide under the covers with a flashlight when your parents think you're supposed to be in bed, and you'll have the little earphone with the little 1/8-inch jack coming out of the transistor radio into your left ear, and you'll be waiting for your song.
Yeah, that's true. And you don't go to sleep till it plays.
No, you don't. And you call until the sorry SOB on the other end of the line finally relents and plays it. And meanwhile, as a disc jockey on a radio station, you know, everything is formatted, and you're not allowed to play Funky Town 8 times in a row, because then you'll lose your sorry ass little $3.35 an hour job.
Like I played The Rose 8 times, or at least in a row today.
I was thinking of this earlier when you were talking about that. And so, no sooner have you played Funky Town. Then a new kid calls. I love Funky Town. Will you play Funky Town again? And weeks it went on. Weeks. I couldn't play anything but Funky Town that would make people happy. I mean, I developed this Stockholm syndrome thing with Funky Town.
I have the extended 9 or 10 minute version.
I swear, as God is my witness, if you give me so much as 15 seconds lead time, you know, Agnes isn't feeling well these days. You know, frankly, I love her dearly, but I don't care. I will go, if I have to pick her up off the couch and bring her in here and sit her in the chair, I'll do that, and I'll let her produce your program until Funky Town is damned well over.
You know how they do, like, with some television programs, they're multicast, and you can, like, switch to a different language? Maybe we can, like, start running Funky Town as one of the alternate channels.
Oh, Jesus, I don't think I could stand Funky Town in Serbo-Croatian or something. No.
Yeah.
Oh, you know.
Gotta make a move to a town that's right for me.
If you only knew what that just did to me.
I'm sorry, Bob.
No. That's okay. Yeah, I can sit up at 3 a.m. in the with a cold sweat rolling down my forehead again. I mean, it's all right. It's not like it's not happened before. I mean, you know, I have a short little catalog of nightmares that occur to me, and most of them have Funky Town for the soundtrack.
Well, we'll have to do a couple of years of analysis, and maybe one day we can hit Funky Town.
Oh, you know, I don't know. It's been a while since I had to hear it. Maybe I'm to the point where I can. You know, there's that great Warner Brothers cartoon with Bugs Bunny where he plays the emissary of the king, and if Yosemite Sam can just learn to stop swearing.
He'll
win, you know, 50,000 Cronkites or something.
Yeah.
And every time he swears, Bugs Bunny marks off a little bit more money. And he finally gets to the point where you can do anything to Yosemite Sam that you want to, and he won't swear anymore. And Bugs Bunny looks up and says, you know, I ain't got the heart to tell him he's out of money. So, you know, maybe I'm at that point in my life where I can stand to hear Funky Town. And, wait, okay, oh my God, Billy Shears is still in the chat room.
Yeah, Billy's here. Billy's hanging. Billy was totally grossed out by the gizzards, but he hung in there.
Billy Shears, hear me now. Billy Shears, hear me now, but listen to me later. If you play Funky Town on your show.
Ooh, what a marvelous idea. Billy, I have like a 12-minute version, honey. I think I'll have to look it up.
They'll put me in a room in a straitjacket with a padded cell and make me write on the wall with a purple crayon, Peter. I swear to God, they will.
Well, if we do Funky Town, we may do it with Billy because you can always volume down during a because it will come through already prepared.
That's true. It's pre-recorded, and I can just run screaming from the room.
Right. It's not like you have to listen for me to go.
But that's okay.
Oh,
I've already given away the other psychosis. I mentioned Stars On.
Oh yeah, that too. Yeah.
Oh yeah, there you are, moms. There you are, cobwebs. Billy's getting ideas. Billy Shears, boy.
Our little demon, Billy Shears, the evil disco bot.
You know, it's not that I'm going to stick my foot in my mouth. The real inquiry is how I'm going to get the other one in there with it.
I'm wondering what he's doing for Christmas. Oh, by the way, one of our future guests. We haven't set the date yet. He was the big DJ at the Sandpiper, which was the huge DJ, which was the huge thing like on Fire Island. And he's going to be a guest sometime. And he sent me a whole stack of CDs from that were done at the Sandpiper. And one of them is the Christmas CD.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I should. I'm not really going to do a Christmas show.
Well,
I don't know.
I was going to say, do I hear the possible merry jinglings of a Christmas Eve sort of strictly confidential Christmas
it
disco.
It could be. Yeah, we could run. It probably runs over an hour and 20 minutes. It's dance versions of Sleigh Bells, Sleigh Ride, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas by the Jacksons.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, I don't know. Back that contact Glenn Rivera. Back that up with whatever he's playing for the Christmas party. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, we could run like back to back Christmas dancing. Oh,
okay, you can't.
Funky Town.
All right, you can't. You can't do this kind of stuff to me. Let me see what I can do here because I have to do my Christmas stuff too.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What do you got?
Let's hear a really annoying, not annoying, but certainly off the wall version of, granted, non disco, but an off the wall version of a Christmas classic, shall we? It's not too long.
Cool.
It's not quite 3 minutes.
Cool. I like most. I like your stuff.
Here we go. Or not. There it is.
Feliz Navidad, espero año de felicidad.
See, I have an unhealthy attachment to punk.
Well, apparently you do.
But okay. I love it. I love it. I think I love it for the same reason that you love disco, because it, it has. I know it sounds crazy to say, but it has real melodic qualities.
And there's something about it's like a mother's milk. There's something warm and fuzzy about it. I mean, you know, for a particular music that anyone particularly likes, I mean, there's that feeling.
Well, yeah. And so I happen to have some, you know, fun little Christmas cuts along the way.
I hope you will play the Drummer Boy Kick Butt remix. Do you know the one I mean?
No.
I discovered it on your show, and I got Agnes to smuggle me out a copy. And I've actually played it at church during one of the Christmas bazaars, but it's ba-da-rum-pa-bum-bum, and then it has like the strong steel metal sounding guitars mixed in with it. I'm sure I have it here.
I'm looking for it now. I bet I've got it.
It's by the Andy Warhols or the Warhols or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, who are they? I'm not sure which folder it is. And
the
I have
Dandy
so
Warhols or something like
that's
that?
That's it. Yes, something like the Dandy Warhols.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's here.
It may have suffered the name crisis from the... But I know I have it here on the machine. I'll get you a copy.
Well, you've got me eaten up with curiosity now.
Let's see. Oh, no, I'll do a search on Dandy Warhols. I bet that brings it up.
No, let's see if this is it, just for the fun of it.
Okay.
As long as Windows Media Player is cooperating.
I found it. Yeah, it's the Dandy Warhols, Little Drummer Boy, and there's two versions. One is a little longer.
Is this it?
Yes, this is it.
Oh yeah, I love this. Yeah, let's save that for later. Now that we know what we're talking about.
Great. Here. And there's a 3-minute version and a 4-minute version. That one has like a longer break with the, you know, the guitar.
Yeah.
And I don't know which you may have both.
No, I'm looking at the 4-minute and 45-second version.
Heard it. That's the longest one. That's the yeah. Go for it. I'm so glad you found that. That is a cool song.
Yeah,
it
is. I had forgotten precisely what you were talking about, but. I love all this stuff. I love the freedom that we have.
We do. And no other station on the planet could do what we're doing.
And yeah. it's not just the freedom to, you know, not have kittens with crocheted tails because your guest, might have inadvertently said a really, really fun word. But it's also the freedom of you and me sitting here who were. You know, and let's face it, we were going to do an hour, and John, we should have played John's intro, but you know, we didn't.
yeah.
And without even, you know, entirely meaning to, and I'm a bad person for keeping an old guy like you up so late.
You do. You have really impacted my sleep life. One of the reasons I'm so cranky before.
we do have this freedom, and we have a freedom that nobody on terrestrial radio has. We have a freedom that nobody on, very few people on internet radio have. I mean, I know you may not know about it, and I'm not going to mention their name, but there's a competitor out there, and they're this huge, huge multi-million-dollar operation where you can sort of buy your way in, and they'll provide you a phone line where you can take calls.
Really?
And people, it's like a vanity press, if you will.
Oh.
Only for, you know, people who have the Radio Jones.
Yeah.
And eventually they will charge people ungodly amounts of money. And they run their advertising in it, but you get nothing out of it.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, that's not us. I'm sure that, you know, but then again, I'm sure that, you know, there are people are somewhere along the way. There's somebody out there that's making, you know, a small horse gagging fortune out of it.
Oh, yeah, sure. The big guys always make it.
But those guys, if you sign on and you do your little vanity radio show, you don't get to go over. You know, if the world is on fire and you can't finish a story, you don't get to go over. We can do that. For instance, you know, Mark Levine has had occasions where, you know, he just couldn't end his show when he ended his show. And I just said, Mark, take some of mine.
Yeah.
And you know, we've carried over issues from your show into the horn section, issues that I had left over on my table from the horn section, stuff that John didn't figure he was going to get to in his show. He's done, you know, sort of preemptively in the horn section.
Mm-hmm.
There are times, and God knows, I know it happens with you too, Peter. There are times when sliding in behind the microphone is a challenge.
Oh, some days are horrifying, and it's those days when there's all the news is like short and snippy, and there's nothing you can like really develop.
Yeah,
you know, and you sit down and you know that it's all going to sound choppy, and you thread anything.
Yeah, or one of those nights that just goes sideways when your producer types HR and you think it means house res, and he's just trying to abbreviate the damn word hour.
I thought it meant House Resolution 28, and I was trying to figure out what House Resolution you were.
And both sides of the project just wind up at the end of the program wanting to crawl into the corner, roll up into a fetal position, and suck your thumb. Yeah, no, those nights happen.
Yeah, they
do. But they're even though it's hard to get in. Sometimes it's hard to crawl in behind the mic. With almost without fail, at the end of every night when you have done it and you've realized, you know, I've committed, you know, I've made a commitment to this and I'm going to do it, when it's over, it's done you more good than going off and doing something else for the 2 or 3 hours would have done.
Bob, it's true. It's so true. It really does some sort of fundamental spiritual good to actually have done a program. And I wish I could find what the disconnect is, because by the time the afternoon of the next, like it's like 4:30, you know, and I'm you know, printing things, then it's like, why in the hell am I doing this? I must be out of my mind. I'm old. I need to go to bed. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know exactly what you're saying, because, you know, the kids get up to go to school at 7.
Oh, Jesus.
It is now 1.
Yeah, it is. We have rolled up.
And so I don't, you know, it's not like I have anything, and this isn't poor, poor, pitiful me. I do this because I love it, and we all do. But you don't get anything approaching a normal sleep pattern. So
no, it really don't.
I have to go shuffling off for my nap about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or I'm, you know, I come into my show feeling like I need my eyelids taped open.
And the nap becomes more and more critical. It really does, and it does. I used to schedule appointments for like early, because I was kind of. But now I'm starting to move appointments out to like at least 10 or 11.
Yeah, we need our beauty rest.
But
you know, if you don't get it, if you do get it, one way or the other, you get in behind this and you do the thing, and you come out of it transformed. And you're not transformed by you. You're transformed by the interaction that you've had and the very humbling recognition that you've had, that you've just gotten to share your existence with people that otherwise you never could have even so much as dreamed of.
Yeah.
And that'll blow your doors off.
Yeah, we honestly do. The number of people that I am meeting doing this program blows me away. I am meeting people all over the country, not even necessarily people who go on the show, but people I talk to who talk to people about going on the show and all this sort of thing. You know, I know more people now than I did when I was living in Portland, all hooked up in the gay community and being a DJ. I do.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm plugged in, and it just blows my mind. And
yeah, you
know, you
become part of, yeah.
And it's so funny because... No, this has been like a conversation. This is a conversation between you and me, but it's something that we've invited a lot of people to, you know, sort of share in.
We have.
And I think, from what I can tell, people really, really get a kick out of the horn section. And we have just wiped out. I mean, we have just taken 2 hours of our lives out behind the barn and beaten it to death. And it didn't feel like it.
I can't believe you made me confess gizzards. That was cruel. I think I'm going to rant.
I didn't make you do anything. Now you stop it.
Oh, you so deserve a rant. Yeah, but you know.
Yeah, there'll be a pre-coffee letter about this Sunday morning.
You rat. And I'm hoping that we can tune in the Rick Goodners and the Matt Sowards and all of the other, because there's so much more dynamic. I mean, you've seen how Bob and I relate, and it's genuine, and you know that because you can tell that. None of you are stupid, damn it. If you're all stupid, just teasing. But we need to bring in some of the other hosts. I think it would improve the whole team spirit thing.
Well, it is, and I hope one of the things that I can do, and you know what technology we're using here, and so you'll understand if I say that, you know, given the bandwidth that we have, if I bring if I bring another computer online, I can bring two more lines of high class digital telephony into the mix, and that'll make it really cool for a lot of hosts.
Good.